And let's keep our eyes on Jesus as we move forward. We're going to go to the next pericope, Ted. It's in John 18, verses 33 through 37. It is the RCL passage for November 21st. Verse 33. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." So, Ted, Jesus was handed over to the authorities, the empire, as it were, by his own people. Is that a one-off event, or is there something for us to resonate with and learn from as we think about it today?
Well, it certainly was a great tragedy and even an irony that it was the Jewish religious authorities who handed Jesus over to the Romans to be crucified. They did so because they wanted to silence Jesus. But Scripture makes it clear that we all are complicit in Jesus' death. We all have sinned. And so we all need Jesus' once for all sacrifice to save us, to restore us to God, to accomplish the atonement that is salvation. And so I think what this passage in John is inviting us to do, just really as what we were looking at in Hebrews invites us to do, is to ask ourselves this question: are we bearing allegiance to Christ today, or in our own ways, are we turning our backs on him? We need to be careful, of course, that we give prayerful attention to Jesus' admonition that everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Jesus is the truth. That's also made clear in the book of John. And do we hear his voice as he proclaims that truth? Do we respond in trust? Do we follow him, or do we follow some thing or ideology or some other person or power? Whose truth do we believe? Who do we trust? And this passage in John 18 is the gospel lesson for, as you know, the last Sunday of what we refer to as ordinary time, the season in which we've been focusing on following Jesus. It's about being a disciple, Spirit-led, Spirit-following follower of Jesus. And this last Sunday in ordinary time is known as Christ the King Sunday, and it's certainly a fitting way to conclude the Christian year. Yes, Christ is King, not Caesar, not Pilate, not anyone or anything other than Jesus. And the question is, do our lives proclaim that reality? Do we trust in that reality? Something to think about.
Jesus said, "My kingdom is not from this world." I wonder, Ted, if some Christians have thought the kingdom, that it hasn't been inaugurated. And so we won't see God's kingdom reign until Christ appears again. Maybe share with our audience what problems can arise when people put the full weight of the not yet instead of realizing and living into the already of the kingdom.
Well, the statement, "My kingdom is not from this world," could also be translated "not of this world," or "not belonging to this world," or "not according to this world." Those are all alternative translations that you can find in other translations. So, but Jesus' point here is not that his kingdom is otherworldly. That is to say, disconnected from this world. It's not somehow also not yet present. In fact, Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom and stating to his followers that the kingdom was among them, already present with them. And the reason why he could say that, and I guess I'm sort of sounding, repeating myself a lot here, but just like the covenant is Jesus, the kingdom is Jesus. Jesus is the kingdom. The kingdom is his reign. It's his presence, which is the presence of God in the flesh among men. And so, yes, with Jesus' first advent, the kingdom had been inaugurated. It had come into the world in the person of Jesus. And from there, to use Jesus' analogy in one of his proverbs, the kingdom is spreading like yeast in the dough, little by little. Now, when Jesus returns to earth at his second advent, or as we say, his second coming, the kingdom will be seen by all in all of its glory. However, it's a mistake to think that the kingdom is only something yet to come. And some Christians sadly think that is the case. And I guess they see their calling, therefore, to sort of hunker down and to await the kingdom. But in doing so, I think they fail to hear Christ's invitation to be citizens of that kingdom now, present. And in doing so, to invite others to be citizens with them. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," not as something that might happen someday, but what would happen today. We don't yet see the fullness of that kingdom yet. That is yet to come. But the kingdom is here because Jesus is here. And the kingdom citizens, his followers, are seeking to live his kingdom way even now, and that has a transformative effect on the world.
Well, let's think about that, Ted, if I may.
Yes.
Just to scratch that itch a little bit more. So the kingdom has come. It has been inaugurated, though we await the fulfillment, the culmination of the kingdom of God. But what does it look like, if I can ask it that way, what does it look like to live as citizens of that kingdom here and now?
Good question. And there's no single answer other than, or short answer other than to say, it looks like Jesus. Are we perfect reflections of Jesus? Well, I am on Thursday afternoons. I'm just
think
for 15 seconds. Yes. Look, none of us perfectly reflects Jesus. He is the only perfect one. He is the perfect high priest, the perfect God-man. He's perfect in his humanity, and of course, he's certainly perfect in his divinity. But there is a way of living. There's a way of being, a way of thinking and acting that is congruent with Jesus. He describes that way in the Sermon on the Mount. And you read that, you go like, well, that's too difficult to do that. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Well, no, we can't do that. Not perfectly, but that's who Jesus is and what he does. And over time, that's what his followers become, more and more like him. Or as Paul says, they grow up into the fullness of the maturity of Christ. So, yeah, that's the expression of the kingdom now. And, you know, if you carefully study history, you will see some of that working out. It sometimes it's frustratingly slow.
Yes.
To go back to what Jesus said, it's like yeast in the dough. Well, I guess maybe yeast can travel faster than dough sometimes. But I think the point there is that you don't often see it, but its effect is still real. But it may take some time to see. As I sometimes joke with people, God is like way too slow for my taste.
Mm-hmm.
That's my problem, not his, by the way. God's timetable is certainly different than mine. And Peter addresses that, as you know, that with the Lord, a thousand years is as a day, and a day is like a thousand years. And the reason why there is this time between the first and second advents, as Peter said, is to give opportunity for people to repent. In other words, to change their thinking, to look to Jesus, to begin to trust in him and to join his kingdom band, if you will, participants in that kingdom for the sake of the world. Yeah,
that's good.
So we have a
call. We know that Jesus is the rightful an everlasting king. He's the rightful priest. He's the rightful prophet. But let's talk about his kingship.
Yes.
How is King Jesus different from other monarchs and leaders?
Earlier in the book of Hebrews, we have looked at the statement that Jesus was really both king and priest, or you might say king as priest or priest as king. In other words, the kind of kingship that Jesus has is quite different from the kingdoms of this world. And even his priesthood is different from the high priesthood of Israel. There are distinctive differences. Jesus' rule and reign as king of a kingdom of God is not like the rulers who rule over the kingdoms of man or of the world. And perhaps the best way to succinctly say that is Jesus is a servant king, not a self-serving tyrant. And he comes clothed with his gospel, which is good news, and his weapon is love, not armaments of warfare or other coercive tactics. The power Jesus exercises, love, not coercion. And as king, he lays down his life for his subjects. And in his rulership from heaven, he serves as the king who suffers with us, who relates to us as one of us. And so here we see a very direct connection with what we're reading here in John, what we just read previously in Hebrews. A whole different kind of king, a whole different kind of kingdom.
Yeah, and as you were talking, Ted, I was thinking about kings in human history who have abdicated the throne.
Yes.
And I found myself just celebrating Jesus that he did not abdicate, that he was obedient even unto death.
Amen.
Hallelujah, praise God. This is the king we've longed for.
Yes, and now ruling from the throne of heaven and with great clarity as to who we are and all of our weaknesses and craziness, he still does not abdicate. He's our high priest and our king and our prophet to pick a third role forever. And you can take that to the bank, as it said.
Thank you, King Jesus.